My word is like a hammer that crushes the hardness in pieces. My word is like a river that refreshes your soul, causes you to grow. My word will heal your body, fill your mind with good things, and satisfy your mouth with sweetness. Allow my word to have entrance in your heart, for it will bring light and always cause you to have a new start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, you may have your seats. Thank you, worship team. I was reminiscing, and I was thinking back when God spoke to our hearts. We didn't have a youth ministry, so we started one. And to see how many young people are involved in the church, I mean, that's awesome. God is awesome. Want to bring your attention to some things. Saturday, September 19th, we're having a breakfast to raise money for the Palmyra Fire Company. And we have tickets in the back. And if you'd like to serve or help or sell tickets, you can go to the information table there and get more information on that. Woven for the ladies. We'll be meeting on Saturday, September 12th, and that's going to be awesome, as it always is. Amen. And then for the men, the end of October, we're having a men's conference called an Everyday Hero Conference, because I believe that men can become an everyday hero for God. And so make plans to attend that. That's going to be great. And then also, on September 10th, we're having what we're calling a casting call. And if you know children, especially in our community, that are from the ages of 6 to 12, they're not auditioning for anything, but they're going to come and they're going to get to choose if they want to sing, act, play an instrument, or do an interpretive dance. And then they're going to perform that for our Christmas dinner, which will be sometime in November. I don't know the exact, November 7th. So it's just another way for us to reach out into our community. How many know we live in a community, right? And oftentimes we have to go into the community and stir up interest in hearts, amen? So those are some things that you can be aware of. You can mark down on your calendars. Tell everybody to come here for breakfast on the 19th and be a good blessing to our fire company. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. Are you glad you're here tonight? Amen. And just want you to know that if you are impressed upon your heart to give, we don't pass a container here, but we do have our container in the back. And you can put your tithes or your offerings in there, and you put it in the ground, and God will multiply it. Amen? So we just bless every gift and giver, and Lord, we thank you, Father, that it will go forth into your kingdom and do great things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think that's all the preliminaries. I'm fired up tonight. Hallelujah. And I want you to go straight with me to the book of Numbers, Chapter 33. Numbers, chapter 33. We're continuing to talk about live, enter, and possess. How many know that God's word is designed for you to live by it? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And it also says we shall walk by faith and not by sight. But then the Word of God brings you in to the blessings of God. All right? The Word of God, as it enters into your heart, it gives you the legal rights. It gives you the legal document to possess everything that God promised. Right? And then finally, the Word will help you take ownership of what God gave you. Right? How many know if you're sick, you need to own healing? Amen? If you're having trouble paying your bills, you need to own provision. Right? Do we have a provider in God? He's a provider and he's the most loving father you will ever have. All right? God is not a negligent father. He will take good care of you. He said he will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All right? So, but then we have to possess what God said. Right? When what God said becomes a reality in your heart, it possesses you so that you can go and take hold of it. And you bring it from the unseen into the seen. Okay? And all God's promises are yes and amen. I love that. God is so awesome. All right, if you're in Numbers 33, and let's go down to verse 50. Numbers 33 and verse 50. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan. Now the land of Canaan represents all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? God doesn't necessarily give us physical land, but he gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. All right, then he says, Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Who? You. Okay? All of the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. All right, when God gave Israel Canaan, were there people living there? Absolutely. But the people who were living in Canaan lost ownership of the land they were living in. And it'd be like if I went to Pastor Fiona right now and say, Pastor Fiona, you are in my seat, and I'm just going to have to move you over and take my seat. Right? That's kind of what happened in the land of Canaan. But it is up to us to dispossess the previous occupants. How many know that before you came to Christ, there were some occupants that took possession of your heart, of your mind, even of your body, right? And when you came to Christ, there were some things maybe you had to get rid of. There were some things that you had to quit. There were some things that you had to stop doing, right? Because it's not acceptable in Christ anymore. Those things, when you come to Christ, you got to take them out like the trash, okay? And so we have to dispossess some previous occupants. And you might find that the devil will try to hinder you from getting a hold of God's promises. Does not he blind the minds of them that believe not? So people who don't believe the gospel, literally their minds are blinded. But the light of God is more powerful, and the light can open blind eyes and cause them to see. All right? So God has given us some things, and he's equipped us to take on these enemies. I like what it says in Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18. And God was talking to Abraham here, and he said, "Your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies." You know what Samson did one time? Samson went against a city who was an enemy city, and you know what he did? See, the gates are the entranceway. The gates are the doorways. And you know what Samson did? They locked the gates of the city and said, "Ha, ha, ha, Samson, you can't get in." You know what he did? He just picked up the gates of the city and carried them off. That means that the enemy had no more door to close, that God's people couldn't be kept out of what God gave them. Say this with me. Say, God, say, "The enemy can't keep me out from what God has for me. The enemy can't stop me from getting what's mine." All right? And see, the enemy is a deceiver. The only weapon that the enemy has is to deceive. He's called the father of lies. Anything the enemy says is a lie, period. The enemy can hide himself in religious garments. The enemy can make himself look like he's holy, but he's not. Oh yeah, the Bible says there are churches who have a form of godliness but deny the power. What good is having a form of godliness without any power? It's having godliness without any power. You know what that is? That's human strength. And eventually human strength is going to give out. But see, the devil likes to hide through these things, because he's a deceiver. But God is smarter than the enemy. Did you know that God made you wiser than your enemies? You can outwit, outsmart, and outmaneuver your enemy every day. All right? And the devil likes to work in your flesh. He likes to try to oppress people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, first of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look here as we learn how to dispossess previous occupants. You should let no one or nothing stand in your way from getting what you want from God. I'll give you a New Testament example before we go to 2 Corinthians 10. There was a man who had four friends, at least. And this man was lame. He couldn't walk, okay? And they heard that Jesus was having a meeting down the street. And they did their best to get there on time, but by the time they got there, the place was packed, standing room only. You couldn't get in the door. There were so many people. I see that happening here right now. All right? So what did they do? They didn't say, "Oh, we can't go in. I'm going to go home." No. They didn't have a murmuring, grumbling, and complaining party. They didn't have a pity party. What they did was they took their friend up to the roof. And they got on top of the roof with their lame friend. Now, where'd they get the rope? They must have brought it with them. How did they lower him down if they didn't have rope or whatever? I don't know how high the ceiling was. But think about it. They did not let the crowd stop them from getting to Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you want to get to Jesus, you can get to Jesus. You got to have the mentality that nothing's going to stop you, nothing's going to keep you, nothing's going to hold you back, but you're going to come to Jesus. Not some form of godliness with no power, but to Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, who has power. So they started removing the tiles of the roof, and what did they do? They dropped him right down in front of Jesus while he was preaching. They couldn't find a seat, so they made their own seat. Amen? And what did Jesus do? He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, please don't interrupt me." No, he didn't say that. He told the man, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Everybody in the crowd, the doctors of the law and the Pharisees were there. They said, "Did you hear that? He told him to forgive his sins. Only God can forgive sin." That would have been a clue to them. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, "Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk?" Doesn't matter, because it's done the same way. Same power that forgives is the same power that heals, and it all comes from Jesus. But he said that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He told the man, he said, "Rise up and pick up your mat and walk." The man who could not walk, who didn't have a seat, made his own seat. He left that meeting walking because he decided to make a seat where there was no seat. He decided that no one was going to stop him from his blessing. You got to have that kind of mentality. All right? You in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? All right? Let's look at verse 3. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You don't fight like, "Put up your dukes. Put them up, come on, put them up." Yeah, we walk in the flesh, but that's not how we fight. We fight a different way. We fight on a different plane. We fight using different methods. How many know that you got to know how to fight? We got any fighters in here? If you're a fighter, say amen. Amen. Now, come on. If you're a fighter, say it like you mean it. If you're a fighter, say amen. 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 Yeah. Can you imagine a boxer going to the ring saying, "I'm going to be a champion. Watch, I'm going to win it." You ain't going to win nothing, pal. All right. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk." Say, "I don't war after the flesh." If you're using carnal weapons against a spiritual enemy, you will lose every time. Spiritual enemies require spiritual weapons. And you've all been equipped. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." But what are they? "They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, where do these strongholds set up? Does that mean I got to go get on a plane and pull down strongholds? No. Strongholds are a lot closer than you think. Strongholds are in the mind. Because do you realize, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? If you think you're sick, let's say you're sick and you keep thinking that you're sick, you keep thinking there's no answer, there's not going to be any answer. If agreeing with the sickness isn't going to get you healed, why not agree with something else? Let's agree with healing. That'll produce better results. All right? Are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, demolishing strongholds. Not just pulling them down, but causing them to break like Humpty Dumpty when they fell off the wall. All the king's horses, they tried, but they couldn't put them back together again. Humpty Dumpty got scrambled. Okay, how do we do this now? We got to cast down imaginations. Where do imaginations occur? In your mind. What you can imagine. Some imaginations aren't good. So you got to cast them down. If you battle self-esteem, you got to cast down some imaginations that are producing low self-esteem, because they're lies. If you're going around through life depressed because you got low self-esteem, it's because you're believing a lie, because God didn't make people like that. You're more than a conqueror. You're the apple of his eye. You're God's child. How can you have low self-esteem with those statements? It's because you're believing a lie. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you encounter something that tries to make itself bigger than God, that's something that needs to be cast down. All right? This is how we're going to dispossess the previous occupants. It's going to require a different mindset. It's going to require you to think differently. The only way you'll act differently is if you think differently. You can't change your actions unless you change your thoughts, because your thoughts originate from your actions. Your actions originate from your thoughts. Okay? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thought I just was supposed to let my mind think on whatever. No, read Philippians 4:6. It tells you what to think on. We're not supposed to just think on anything. If there's a rebel thought in your mind, you say, rebel thought, I arrest you. You have the right to remain silent. You take it captive. You don't let it have dominion in your mind. How do you do it? You do it with your words. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How do you overcome disobedience? With obedience. Isn't that awesome? How do you correct a wrong? Do right. You correct your disobedience with obedience. If you've been disobeying God in an area, it's time to change and start obeying. The only way you're going to correct the disobedience is through obedience. God never removes something from your life without giving you something in its place. God takes our mess and he gives us salvation. God takes our brokenness and he gives us wholeness. Okay? Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. All right. Now I'm going to go through some of these quick, okay? Can you listen quickly? Okay. How are you going to wage this warfare? You can write down 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 to 19. You're going to use faith and a good conscience. A good conscience is representative of a clean life. No hidden secrets, no hidden sins. Why? Because once you're in the light, light exposes darkness. Light makes darkness leave. If you've got the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. That means when the entrance of God's word, it enters your heart, it lightens you, it illuminates you, and it causes that dark area to dissipate, to leave. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19, you wage a good warfare with faith and a good conscience. All right? You got to have both. If you're trying to live by faith and you're dirty in your life, it's not going to work. Uncleanness. How many times did Jesus cast out unclean spirits? Well, what do you think an unclean spirit does? It makes a person unclean. How many has been around an unclean person? They stink. Isn't that right? 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2. How are you going to fight this fight? You have to be strong in God's grace. God's grace is his ability, his power, his favor, his goodness. How many know you got to be strong in the grace of God? How do you be strong in the grace of God? You praise every good thing in your life by saying, thank you, God, for your grace. You make God's grace the forefront of your conversation when good things are happening. What about when bad things are happening? You don't pay any attention to them. Magnify the Lord and hold your peace when the devil's trying to work. Don't praise the devil for anything. Don't say, oh, the devil's going to give me a hard time. Really? How can a toothless, defeated, naked madman give you a hard time that's been defeated? Okay? 2 Timothy 2:3. How are you going to fight? You got to endure. You got to endure hardness as a good soldier. Jesus did not promise it'll be a bed of roses, rainbows and lollipops. No, you got to endure. You think the cross was easy? How many would like to take Jesus' place and carry your own cross, be crucified, have nails driven through your skin, be mocked, be ridiculed, be criticized in public, have your beard ripped out, a spear stuck in your side, and then you got to carry your own cross yet? But what did he do? He endured. He endured because he knew that he was going to be getting some joy real quick. Do you know that God's eternal? So that you know that the things you go through in life are temporal. Guess what? Temporal things have a limit. It's not always going to be bad. It will get better. You're not always going to lose every fight. You're going to win. Why? Because it's in your DNA. You've been created. Romans 6:13-14. How are you going to fight this fight? You're going to do it with righteousness. You got to present your instruments as instruments of righteousness. Everybody lift up your hands. Say, these are holy hands. Everybody just touch your mouth. Say, this is a holy mouth. Everybody touch your ears. Say, these are holy ears. Cover your eyes. Say, these are holy eyes. See, you know how the devil gains entrance to your life? Because he causes you to use your instruments for evil. You know, all the devil needs is a place. Ephesians 4 says, don't give him a place. First Thessalonians 5:8-11. You have to fight with the right mindset. If you want to dispossess the previous occupants, you got to have a different mindset. Here's what it says. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. One thing we need is we need to encourage one another. Not discourage, but encourage. Okay? But you got to be sober-minded. What was the difference in the prodigal son's life when he came to himself? If he hadn't come to himself, he'd have still been in the pig pen. But the Bible said he came to himself. And what was his thought? My father's servants have it better than I do. If he didn't have that thought, he wouldn't have taken the action to go to his father. But what needed to change in his situation was what he thought about himself, was what he thought about the situation. He knew that there was something better than the pig pen. You know what? He got in the pig pen by his own choice. God didn't put him in the pig pen. He couldn't blame God for getting in the pig pen. No, he chose to be there. And guess what? If you chose to be there, you can choose to be somewhere else. And what did he do? He made a choice. Stop playing around in the mud. Stop slopping with the pigs and start going after God. And he was willing to be a servant to his father. He thought his chance of sonship was over. But he thought maybe he had a chance of being a servant. But can you imagine what the devil was putting on his mind while in the pig pen? What would make a person go to a pig pen every day and want to eat what the pigs are eating? You must think like a pig. I'm sure eventually that man started to think like a pig. He thought he was a pig. Maybe every day he'd go, oink, oink, oink. Guess what? As long as he thought of himself as a pig, he remained in the pig pen. But the moment he thought that there was something better, he took some action and got to a better place. Guess what? You can change your mindset right now, tonight, in this moment, right now. You don't have to be broke. But we're so programmed for that. Did you know that God gives us power to drive out enemies? 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Woo! He is the power of God and he's the wisdom of God. And you're on his side. You're on the side of power and wisdom. All right? 1 Corinthians 2:5, our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's great that people say, oh, that was such a great sermon. Yeah, but what are you doing with it? Does the sermon cause you to go out here and take action? If it doesn't do that, then great if it was good, but it should, every message should spark action in the heart. Amen? Jesus never... Anytime Jesus was in the presence of anybody, change took place in someone. Didn't it? When he was in the presence, people were inspired to change. The man who was sick for 38 years, can you imagine? Sitting by the pool of Bethesda, he can't get in. 38 years. Once again, he didn't believe that he could be healed until Jesus said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm sitting here waiting for the water. But every time it moves, I can't get in. Someone beats me to it. It's the other person's fault. It's not my fault. You know, oh no, I did. I'm the victim here. I've been here for 38 years. Yeah, but in one moment, Jesus healed him. Guess what? Jesus didn't even use the water. You mean there's another way that I could get healed? Oh my goodness. He was waiting for someone to do it for him instead of him taking the action to do it for himself. This is what a possessor does. A possessor takes action for themselves. They overcome opinions. They overcome insecurities. They overcome all kinds of things. And they get what they get what's theirs. Bartimaeus was another one. Mark 10, you can read the story. Bartimaeus was sitting on the road. I believe it was to Jericho. Bartimaeus was blind. And Jesus and his team were walking by Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus couldn't see him, but Bartimaeus could hear him. They could hear people talking. Maybe they were mentioning Jesus' name. Maybe they were talking of the miracles. Maybe they were testifying of the things that they saw Jesus do or heard Jesus teach. And Bartimaeus, instead of just sitting there while Jesus passed by, did you know what? Jesus did not go out of his way to do anything for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had to get Jesus' attention. Some of you think that God needs to come over beside you and slap you in the head before you act. Not necessarily so. Maybe some he does. But what did Bartimaeus do? The minute Jesus walked by, he began to cry out. He did what he knew to do. He didn't just sit there. But he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, shh, the master's walking by. Now, when people tell you to shut up, that's maybe a good opportunity to get louder. when it comes to getting a miracle, he did not even pay attention to the crowd. He got louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The same people that told him to be quiet were the same people that had to go get him, said, the master wants you. And he got to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do? Hello, Jesus, I'm blind. Can't you see? Listen, God wants you to make the request. God wants you to take the action. God wants you to set the parameters. It's called faith. Bartimaeus had faith. He told Jesus, how many ever know that show, Name That Tune? Jesus basically told Bartimaeus, name your miracle. He said, what would you have me do for you? All it took was a little effort to get Jesus' attention. Had not Bartimaeus spoken out, Jesus would have walked down the road and Bartimaeus would have still been blind. Blindness was stealing his blessing. He refused to put up with his blindness. He refused to accept it. So he did something about it. He cried out with a loud voice. And he told Jesus, he said, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, be it unto you according as you believe. Right then and there, his eyes were opened because he took action. There's another story in 2 Kings 4. There were four lepers. And they were in the midst of a severe famine because the enemy had surrounded the city and cut off all the supplies of the city. And the lepers, they're just there hanging out. Hey guys, what's happening? But you know what? One of the lepers had an idea. He said, why sit we here till we die? I mean, if we go to the city, we're going to die. But if we just sit here, we're going to die. Why don't we just do something? And the other three said, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do something. So what did they do? They got up and they just started walking. And you know what God did? God made their walk sound like an army marching. Four lepers, it took four lepers to get up and do something, and God's angels joined them. They just started walking. And the enemy that had surrounded the city, they heard this army marching towards them, and they thought that they were in trouble, so they left everything. They left all the gold, all the clothes, all the food, all the silver, all the jewels. They just up and left. And the lepers, they get to the camp, and they find everything abandoned. So they're just having their stuff in their face. They're, oh man. But they, you know what they said? We should share this with the city. We shouldn't just keep this to ourselves. It's going to take you taking action to dispossess previous occupants. You can't use the excuse of I can't do that. If Jesus says you can do it, you have no excuses anymore. How could a lame man get up? But when Jesus says get up, he got up. How could that happen? He obeyed God's word. Power is on our side. Amen? We have power to drive out. We have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Why did God give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions? Because he said, every place where the sole of our foot treads is ours. What have you been treading on lately? Have you been treading on victory? Have you been treading on healing? Have you been treading on strength? Or have you been complaining about your situation? You know, when you complain, you don't possess. Did you know that there's never a reward for the greatest complainer? I've got the Nobel Complaining Prize. No such thing. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have God's armor. We have God's Word. We have the name of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. We have praise. I mean, you got to find at least one weapon that works. There's got to be at least one weapon that you can use in your situation. Paul and Silas, after they were beaten and thrown into the darkest part of the dungeon, they're in chains. And they look at their sundials and they say, oh, it's midnight. What did they do? Did not God use praise as a weapon? What did their praise do? Their praise broke chains, opened doors that were closed, and got the jailer saved because they praised. There's something that some people need to possess tonight. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. God brought you here tonight so that you could possess. Some of you may need to overcome fear. Some of you may just need to grow stronger in God. But doing nothing will get you nothing. You got to do something. Amen? You got to receive. In order to receive, like we talked about last week, you got to get in the position to receive. Right? You can't drink water. If you're thirsty, you can't drink water from the fountain from here. If I'm thirsty and if I want to drink from the fountain, I got to go where the fountain is to get the drink. Right? I cannot say how thirsty I am right here, but I'm able to walk back there and go take a drink. That's all I need to do. Some of you just need to take a drink. But one drink will lead to another and to another. Then you get tipsy after a few. All right? But I don't know what you have need of tonight, but God does. He wants you to dispossess the previous occupant, and he wants you to take ownership of what he promised you. Maybe that's finding your purpose. Maybe that's getting direction. Maybe that's just being encouraged. Don't know what it is. Don't care. Don't have to know. God knows. The Holy Ghost knows. And I know his anointing is here to bring you in to whatever you need. Now, if that's you, if you're here tonight and you need to possess something, come and get it. God's going to do a quick thing tonight. Oftentimes, things happen immediately with God. We're going to start down this end here. So, I'm just going to release the anointing which is in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. Are you ready to turn things around? You're going to experience the miraculous, the wonder-working power of God. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we release the anointing and the power to do a mighty work in her body. Restore health and strength to her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, let the power of God go in right now and do what needs to be done in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, let it rain down.